works.
Next item.
Item number 14, Org Unit 9000, Parks, page 319.
Mr. Dardo, I would ask that, since we have many people from the public to discuss the pool closing, that you specifically address that right now, and then we'll let the public speak, and then we can hear the rest of your department after they've had a chance to speak, if that's possible.
Okay.
I mean, you can stay. I want you and you and whoever is going to present your rationale for the pool closing, which is fine, and then we'll let the public speak, and then the other parts of your department, they don't have to sit through that if they choose not to, the rest of the public. Am I being clear?
Okay. Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I do have an opening statement I'd like to share with you of my experience over the last 4 months, about 10 minutes of an opening statement.
Well, let's just hear the pool, and we'll give you a chance for your opening statement after we delve into the issue that a lot of the public is here.
Okay, so we'll look at the aquatics?
Sure.
Okay. Well, as you know, our 2014 budget provides the same staffing levels we had in 2013, less the adjustments of the indoor pools. The county executive is recommending that the two indoor pools in our system be closed, and those savings would go back into operating of the park system, and then in turn reinvest in the park system at Noyes and Pulaski with other amenities at those two sites.
And you want to provide any rationale for that?
I think it's something that's not new to the board as far as recommendations regarding the decision made to offer up the closing of the two pools. It seems to me that it's a prudent business decision that we've looked at over the last 13 years and studied and analyzed and recommended. I think that if we are going to pursue that service providing indoor pools, that we're either in and we invest, or we're out and we repurpose. The justification behind that is obviously given you've gotten the information from us and the county executive, the high cost to maintain the indoor pools, the low revenue and difficult cost recovery of the indoor pools, the rising cost to operate, a need for capital repair, replacement, and investment of infrastructure and other attractions. And there are other service providers that offer the same type of services and facilities in the area.
No.
No, wait.
There's limited county dollars available to handle that replacement. And we've got an overall increased backlog of system-wide park needs out there. So that is the information that we provided to the county executive for the decision or recommendation providing to the board as options that, again, the savings from those closing those facilities would go back into the parks and be put back into some of our deferred maintenance needs.
Mr. Keegan, do you have anything to add to that before we hear from the public?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, no, I think the director covered all the business-related issues with the pools.
Okay, then we'll hear from the public on this specific issue of the pool.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask one question?
Oh, sure. Sort of. Go ahead.
And in all fairness to the director, the interim director, your history is a little shorter on this issue, but you did reference the fact that it might not come as a surprise, or because you know it's been a previous recommendation. But the board did allocate $6 million for these pools a couple of years ago. And, you know, that money got reallocated to other necessary projects. But it seems that people forget that we have set our priorities previously. And there seemingly was no effort, once that money was reallocated, to then prioritize these pools again. And so there was, I think it was a disregard for the fact that the board had set their marker down and had said what our policy was on aquatics. And I think the administration needs to account for that, that they have been ignoring policy on major issues like this. And I think $6 million was, you know, probably your biggest single capital allocation, and yet there was no regard for that. And I think there has to be some recognition of that, because we repeat these recommendations, and the board continually has to step up to then reallocate money for these. So I want some response to the fact that there's a long history on this. It predates you, so perhaps you'll need some help from your staff on that, but there has to be some accounting for that.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Lipscomb, very good point. I apologize for not mentioning that there. Yes, you are correct. There had been a previous action by the board to reinvest in those facilities, but as other things have come up, they were redirected. So I recognize your point. Thank you. Jim, do you need one?
I'm a little bit confused by that comment, and my history isn't much longer than you here. So what do you mean there's been a change and things were redirected? What exactly does that mean?
Oh, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Jim Keegan from the Parks Department. Supervisor Lipscomb is correct. I think it was in 2009 an amendment was done by the Finance Committee and the County Board, and adopted by the County Board, to provide $6 million, $3 million for noise, and $3 million for Pulaski Pool to investigate the feasibility and look at the feasibility of installing additional amenities, be they lazy rivers, other types of things that could maybe rejuvenate those two pools. Ultimately, those dollars were reallocated to the O'Donnell parking structure after the tragedy occurred in 2010. We had been going through the conceptual designs. We'd held public meetings, different things like that. And a lot of the information that we continue to look at, based upon the business model, is from that study that we did. And so, you know, the Parks Department has a significant amount of deferred maintenance, and you know, through the aquatics program, there's been some investment in the outdoor pools, and so you know we're continuing to develop our long term investment plan into the whole park system, and you know the we have done marketing efforts, we have done a number of things to, over the years, to try to increase the usage at Pulaski and Noyce Indoor Pool. As you know, into the early 2000s, there was an aquatic study done by an outside agency that had a number of recommendations. Some of those have been implemented, some of them have not. We had held a meeting last night to show the community up in Moody Pool of what we're doing with that pool redesign, and the community was very appreciative of everything and the effort that we're putting into that, and that was one of the pools that were recommended to be closed a long time ago. So, you know, it comes down to prioritizing health and safety issues. You know, in our annual request, we have to take a look at our health and safety issues, our infrastructure, and all of the other issues that we currently have. And the Parks Department has not came back to the board with a request, a major request on the indoor pool, based upon our other needs.
Is that want to follow up?
I mean, that may be the extent of their comment on it or what they're willing to say. It is a disregard for the policy established by the board. If we allocate $6 million, I understand there was an emergency, and as a temporary reallocation, I get it. But it seems to me that then it's you sort of put a placeholder that, well, we have to go and replenish that then, because the board has established a priority, and you know whether that's that you know, the money that we would then seek to recover in that lawsuit, that we would go back and then replenish this capital project with, or whatever. But to just sort of ignore it because that's unacceptable to me. So I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna hear from. I recognize some of the faces that we're gonna hear from since they were here.
So if,
you know, they thought we fixed this.
If we could just keep it. You know, we've been great so far. You know, we're trying to show respect for everybody. When you speak, I'm sure we'll show respect to you. But we can keep this moving quicker if we don't have applause and boos and all that kind of thing.
I mean, we took a lot of criticism, Mr. Chairman, for that vote. It was a $6 million addition to the capital budget. It was a big deal. You know, so I took hits for, you know, not everyone was a fan of us spending that money. So I already took those hits. And then we didn't get it. So I take the hits, and the people don't get their pool fixed, and then we're back here again. So you have to understand that damage, I blame that on the department to the extent that they don't deliver. So
if I could just sort of follow up on this question so I understand. As I understand what you're saying, in 2009, before I was here, and many members of the board, the current board were here, the board allocates $3 million for noise and Pulaski Pools, or $6 million. And then because of the O'Donnell Park tragedy, that money then was diverted. There was no subsequent action of the board that said, let's not do these pools. There was an administrative decision made or something?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, there was a fund transfer that was brought to the board to reallocate those dollars from the pool projects to the O'Donnell project.
Mr. Fudge, did you have something you wanted?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, supervisors, just to expand on the history, I believe it was the 2010 or 2011 budgets that then sought to that reallocated the funds from the pools to the O'Donnell parking structure. There was in the following year's budget, I believe 2011, there was an amendment to the recommended capital budget to add back the $6 million in funding. That amendment was vetoed by the then County Executive Walker and was sustained on a vote. So that's what kind of the history of that. Also, I'll just leave it at that. That's the history of what happened with it.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas, and then somebody else over here. Supervisor Stamper, Supervisor Jurczyk, and then we'll get to the public.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dargle, Mr. Keegan, thank you for joining us today. My questions are relatively brief. Was the pool closure, these pool closures, the two that are before us today, were they in your budget request that your department submitted to the executive?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Haas, no, it was not.
Okay, thank you. And where did the idea to replace the noise pool with a skate park come from?
During the discussions, as we provided the facts regarding the data behind the pools, the statistics, the costs, the benefits, the attendance, we had used the model of Moody as an example of being able to, and Lindbergh as an example, that if we're going to go in and demolish or repurpose buildings and things, the best thing for us to do would be able to go immediately behind that to do improvements or new facilities that the public is interested in us meeting their needs. The skate park came up as a grassroots advocacy effort from skateboarders over several years, much like the dog parks have been developed in Milwaukee County with a very strong advocacy group that has an interest in dog parks. We have that same issue with skate parks. There is a need for a skate park. And whether or not that be in Noyes or other places in Milwaukee County, we do not have any outdoor skate parks in our system.
That's true. And do you have numbers to validate this, Mr. Dargle?
I do not have numbers to validate it, but as far as a national trend of health and wellness for teens, skateboarding has been an item of high priority as far as a trend goes to provide that opportunity. I was part of the conversations and relied on staff that had been part of the system, and recognizing their history and feedback.
I see. Now, even before you got here, Mr. Dargle, there was there'd been a push to establish a skate spot within my district on the south side, where we have perhaps more younger people, and I don't think the elderly get a terrible amount of enjoyment from skateboarding. I question this. This seems to be a decision that should have come via the county board. This is a policy decision as to what goes into our facilities. It is unusual, not unprecedented, for it to come in this fashion. So are there plans for this skate park that would go in at Noyes?
I would expect that if we were to continue to pursue the repurposing of Noyes, is that we would take it through a public process, that the public would have input to what Noyes Park can be as far as recreational opportunities.
And did
the funding is there.
Input, excuse me, Mr. Dargle, did you have public input saying, please close the pool?
No, we did not go through that process.
Did you have input saying, we want a skate park right there?
No, again, it was just conversations with the county executive and budget office to just, you know, what alternatives are out there, what are the needs in the community, and us sharing that information with them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just to follow up on one of the questions, Supervisor Hostel, wasn't the department's recommendation to close the pools, where did it originate, this idea?
Mr. Chairman, you are correct. That was not a department's recommendation. We provided facts to the county executive. And, Risa, do you want to?
Thank you, Chairman. When the county executive was looking at the requested budgets, and we were talking about the parks budget, we were talking about how do we make the parks more sustainable, more attractive to a larger group of people. One of the biggest expenses on the park system are these indoor pools. Looking into the next few years, it needs a multi-million-dollar investment just to get it up to code, not even to make it anything better than it is. It made sense that we can look at these parks and replace them with something that is more cost-efficient and will attract more people.
Supervisor Stamper, Supervisor Jerzyk, and then we have Chairwoman has some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. Mr. Keegan, you mentioned that you've done more outreach and more efforts for marketing to try to increase the attendance at these two pools.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, yes, we have. The department has made a major effort through the years of marketing.
And it's not working?
It's not been successful yet.
Okay. Now, the data that's presented in these budget and in our narratives has your reasoning or your rationale behind the closing based on some of the things you listed. But I assume you use the same data from the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture. And according to the data from the DPRC, Noyes and Pulaski have averaged relatively higher than most of the other county-controlled aquatics facilities, excluding just the two, which are Cool Waters and Schultz Aquatic. Other than that, they have the highest attendance. And here's the data right here. I'm almost finished. In addition, Pulaski has had the highest attendance of any deep well pool in 2012 and still maintains that position as of 2013 in September. Noyes ranked number 4 in total deep well pool attendance in 2012 and ranks number 5 in attendance as of September 2013. Now keep in mind, these are indoor pools, and they're only open, keep in mind that the outdoor aquatic facilities are open only during the warm weather. So I understand that, but these are our only two remaining pools. So if you have the same data, how can you have different rationales?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the attendance is because those indoor pools are year-round, and that's why the attendance rankings are high for those two indoor pools. Our outdoor pools are ranked lower in attendance, or they're only open for the peak season of summertime during the warm weather.
Okay. But it still has the highest in 2012. That's not of significant value. I don't see why. I don't see that as the reasoning.
Well, go ahead, Jim.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. One of the ways that we take and do our cost per swimmer report to more equalize the data is on the net cost per swimmer and the net revenue per swimmer, because when you take a look at an outdoor pool, you're open for about 70 days. And for the indoor pools, they're pretty much open year-round, 12 months out of the year. And so when you go take a look at, you know, the net revenue per swimmer and the net cost per swimmer, the net cost per swimmer at Noyes Pool is running around $10.39 per person per user per year. At Pulaski Pool, it runs about $6.02 of tax levy for every time a person uses that. On the outdoor pools, you've got a range that goes from, you know, the low to mid $2 per person to, you know, a high of $17 per person. But, you know, that's where it becomes equalized. So if you're going to compare, you know, try to compare them apples to apples with dates and, you know, weather factors, because a cold summer at an outdoor pool can depress, you know, the usage. A cold, rainy, you know, summer, month of June, month of July. And that, and so I think that the data that we've got on our outdoor on our cost per swimmer pool is more of a better measurement to take a look at than just gross numbers.
Okay.
And I could go through that individually with you if you wanted, or I can provide it to you.
Yeah, definitely. I like that.
Could you provide that to us, please?
I can do that, sir.
Okay. That's it for now, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Jerzyk?
I do recall the budgetary items. I recall having approved the $6 million transfer, and then the following year the failure to override veto of that. So it strikes me that this is one of those, and I don't quite frankly know how I'm going to ultimately vote on these issues. You know, the city of Milwaukee used to run something called a natatorium. I bet some of the people in the back who are as old as I am remember those facilities. And eventually the city of Milwaukee had to close them because they could not continue to afford it. In fact, one of them, just a side note, was turned into a private restaurant with a huge fish or dolphin in it, and eventually failed. So it's got kind of a spotty history there. But these indoor pools are extremely expensive. And it strikes me that with regard to doing the closing of valued services like this, you're dropping the ball. There's a significant group of people who have been using that indoor pool. And if there would just be some planning, there are alternate pool facilities, and I appreciate the chart that was given to us on this. You know, if you could take some shepherding of services and find an alternate facility and find an alternate program that would about fit the time of day and so on that some of the aquatics programs goes on, you might not get so much pushback. Instead of bringing an issue like this to the board, and we have nothing but difficult issues, we're starting with a budget that's already $3 million in the hole, and we have capital projects that we can't even begin to get to. And I can tell you, my district gets so little capital money because I'm constantly putting a new roof on Kosciuszko and so on. And I understand all of that stuff. They're important things. But there just isn't enough money to go around. So we are going to have to make difficult decisions. But you don't help us. There are services that could be provided. I understand there are high school pools, there's YMCA pools, and so on. But you don't show the users of our amenities how to get there and how to transfer. And I think if you just spent a little time doing that and in assisting these users, you might be able to provide us some creative responses here. So that's my criticism. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Hoff, you had one more question?
Can the executive's office provide us with any numbers, rationale, data on expected revenues that would come from a skate park being installed?
There's different models throughout the country, Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, regarding skate parks. Some jurisdictions charge fees in order to recover costs to using seasonal employees there. I think our intent is to, at this point, and I may be speaking out of line, but I think to leave it open for use, and then we would look at doing instructional classes, camps there, and lessons at the skate park. So we can come up with some information that would give you what other jurisdictions are doing as far as their revenue generation.
I see. Do you know, that was a question for the executive's office, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Do you know, then, if this would be more effective, the hours of this would, it doesn't exist yet, so I'm asking about something that doesn't yet exist, but how would it be more effective than the existing pool in terms of revenue, in terms of community service provided, in terms of impact? You know, is the surrounding community asking for this? Well, it's not been a policy item that's come before the representatives of the people. I'm not sure how that could have been asked of the people, aside from the shock of finding out, hey, guess what, we're going to close your pool.
No.
Hearing no response, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Dmitrievich, do you have some questions?
Can I come up there, please? Just goes kind of tight back there. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This feels like a familiar place, because it is. And what I want to start out with is I'm going to keep my comments brief. I've said enough. I'm having a listening session, which everybody is invited to October. This is the way you do it. October 17th, 6 to 7 p.m. at Pulaski Indoor Pool to discuss this more at length. And I think Mr. Dargle, he will be in attendance. I've invited him, and I appreciate that. But why it feels like a common place is that this is exactly what County Executive Scott Walker did when he was here a number of times. And when it comes to this, it feels like things haven't changed. It's more of the same. And I feel very sad to see, I'm happy to see the people here who have been here with me and us along this whole way, but at the same time, it's sad that they have to take time out of their schedule to come here and fight for something that's already a service. We're not even asking for more. We're asking for the maintenance of something that we currently provide to the community. Two indoor pools that are ideally located on the near south side of the city and the near north side of the city. And what I just want to state today, Mr. Chairman, are a few, what I believe are many flaws in the argument to support the closure and put forth the splash pad as well as the skate park. First of all, I would appreciate it not being compared to the Moody Pool situation. It has nothing to do with the Moody Pool situation. That was a whole different type of pool that served a different constituency and is now going, it is not like Pulaski and Noyes Indoor Pools. We supported the transition last year, this county board, and I think it's good for the neighborhood. But that has nothing to do with these two indoor pools. The information that was put into the county executive's budget citing other pool amenities, there was a graph that showed other pool amenities around the locations, it is completely erroneous. Most of those other pools, there are some that are public schools, which obviously have different hours because they're schools, but the majority of them are private institutions, which are incredibly expensive. We did some investigation, and if you don't have a membership, the average day pass is nearly $20. The last time I checked, an indoor annual pass for Pulaski was nearly $130 for the whole year. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was the cost. So we keep hearing about this huge cost to maintain and operate Noyes and Pulaski indoor pools. The number that was put in the budget, and this is a question, Mr. Chairman, that I have for the administration and Mr. Dargle, is it was this huge number that just seems overwhelming and I would argue is quite misleading. $4.2 million. I've asked the administration for a further breakdown of those numbers. The majority of those are not even high priority. The high priority was much closer, and I'd just like to get it on the record, I did ask the administration to $1.6 million for the two pools combined. Well, that's interesting to note, because in this 2014 budget, $2.5 million is set aside in the capital budget to demolish both pools and build a skate park and a splash pad. Do the math. We can find money to make the investment. And I guess the last thing that I would enter into the record is when we say, oh, there's not a lot of use, say that to the nearly 58,000 people who used the pools last year. And I know we're lucky to have a lot of great senior citizens that are here today, but I want to end with one point, is we have a challenge in our community. We've seen an unfortunate increase in children having challenges with swimming lessons, and we've even had an increase in drowning. And I think, in drowning deaths, and I think we should be doing everything we can. In fact, through the research that I've found, drowning is actually the second leading cause of death in children 1 to 9 years old. And swimming lessons cut that down by 88%. Are we doing everything we can in our community to make sure that we have swimming, affordable swimming lessons available for families? Are we going above and beyond? And you're going to hear today from some people, especially Bob and Ann, who are here from District 4, who help run a swim club and provide swim lessons, and they're seeing an increase in families registering like never before. So those are just some pieces of information. And when it comes to the skate parks, the city of Wauwatosa as well as the city of West Allis are putting in skate parks, I believe, within the next year. Not necessarily nearby Noise Pool, but there are other places putting forth publicly supported skate parks. So, you know, it's exhausting. It's unfortunate to be here and to have this debate over and over when the community has overwhelmingly expressed their support for these indoor pools. The percentage of funding in this large billion-dollar budget that goes to these two indoor pools is actually relatively low when you compare it to the benefits and the value that it adds to our community. With healthcare costs soaring and rising, don't we want to give amenities to our senior citizens to proactively manage their health so that they can have the best type of high-quality and wellness life in their later years? We want to be able to provide those amenities. And I know Supervisor Jurczyk touched on the historical value. I'll just end with this. We have public institutions for a reason, and there's a dangerous trend going on throughout this entire budget that is either selling off, privatizing, or reducing those amenities. You look at great architects like Charles Whitnall. We had the founders of our public museum, and they had a vision. Where is the vision here? What are we leaving to future generations? And I think that's something that we have to seriously ask ourselves as we go forward. It's not just a pool. It's something that was passed down. It was part of a vision, and they're in neighborhoods that need these services. We need to open up the doors and invite as many people in as possible so that we can help people live a healthier and safer lifestyle. Thank you very much.
Good job. Dr. Colton?
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to correct some misinformation that was stated. There's actually, when it was stated that there are 57,000 people who use the pools, that's actually incorrect. There's been 57,000 visits. In reality, it's probably only a few hundred people who use the pools. They just tend to come a few times a week. It's not unique users. Yeah. The second piece about private organizations like the YMCA, they have membership rates to make it affordable. Their mission is to make the facilities affordable regardless of income. We did some calculations to look at the number of visitors that we would need in order to break even. And for Noise Pool, the number of visits would have to increase by 340%, and the number for Pulaski would have to increase by 500% for us to break even. So I just wanted to – I'll send that information after the meeting also.
So is it the county executive's position then that we should only keep amenities open if they're either break even or turning a profit?
I think in this case
just overall, is that a general philosophy?
No, of course not.
But in this case, it is?
In this case, because the cost is so high and we haven't talked, we've talked about the seniors, but we haven't talked about kids and families who don't use these pools regularly. And the amenities we're looking at are more kid and family friendly. So there's many considerations that went into this decision, not just
Mr. Chairman,
not just that.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Dmitrievich?
Yes, I'm not interested in getting into a debate because I feel that I've already been completely successful and the data speaks for itself. But what I want to get on the record, Mr. Chairman, is Mr. Dargle, can you please, it's important to look at these numbers, the high priority maintenance needs for Pulaski and Noyes indoor pools are not $4.2 million. The high priority, I was told, is 1.6. Is that true? Can we get that on the record? I know it was Jim who had that. I just want to get that on the record because we need to dispel
Mr.
Gargle the myth.
Or Mr. Keegan, do you have a response to that?
And while that's being said, I do think it's important, that's why I ended, is there are many things that we do that do not produce a profit. We are county government. We try the best that we can, but, I mean, let's look at the discussion we had just previously on libraries. Come on. What kind of community is this? Many things add to the county that provide value, and unfortunately, that's why we get in the business of doing it, is because sometimes there aren't other alternatives. And, again, that's why when I call for leadership and vision, let's have a vision. I mean, it's a challenge to have a profit in this particular resource, but the value outweighs that smaller cost throughout the entire budget. So back to the maintenance, I do want to get that on the record.
Mr. Dargle?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, based on that 2010 study we had on both Pulaski and Noyes pools buildings, for both pools, the high priority numbers, the high end for the high priority needs for repair was $1.6 million, and the medium priorities was $1.1 million. That does not include any of the soft costs, which would be about 20% of that. So,
just concluding, Mr. Chairman, is again 1.6 in high priority. $2.5 million was put in this budget to demolish both and construct the skate park as well as the splash pad. So please, I know you're doing a great job. Continue to look at the math. And let's not just keep the pools open. Let's reinvest in them and make a continued promise to our community. Thank you.
I'd like to give the public an opportunity to speak, if that's okay. They've been sitting here for about 3 hours. So Supervisor Broderick, do you mind if we go to the public to speak? Or?
Well, you know, I'm not too sure. What I have to say will be as germane after we lose the
thread
here.
Go ahead.
And I'll be very brief, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important to view this in the much broader context that exists. The problems confronting our park system all, it seems to me, stem from deferred maintenance and the priorities that deferred maintenance foists upon the park system. And in some sense, when we blame the park system, we're blaming the victim here. A cure was provided for all of this back in 2008 by a public referendum, advisory referendum was held. Public voted in favor of recommending a half-cent sales tax to provide dedicated parks funding. But unfortunately, the public was ignored by the wiser minds in the majority party in Madison, who had, to date have refused to authorize us to levy that critical tax. So it's against that backdrop and in that context that I think we should be considering all of the issues that are being raised today as they bear on the future of our park system. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you for that reminder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would normally wait and allow everyone who I know has been waiting for a long time go first. Unfortunately, I'm not able to stay for the duration of the entire meeting today due to a prior schedule conflict, so I will try to keep my comments brief. Noyes Pool is in the district that I represent, and I have been receiving phone calls about the potential pool closure. I'm sure that there's people in the audience here today that I've spoken with and am working on communication with. Right now, the pool is slated to be closed and have a skate park built. I question this. I question, do we close the pool? What is the reasoning behind it? Is it a good decision? And I question separately, would a skate park be a good option? I have to admit that I'm very skeptical of putting a skate park there if the pool were to be closed. The pool's value to my district right now is that it serves a multi-generational purpose. It brings families together. It's a source of bringing community together, where people have just gotten to know each other and gotten to value the pool as a community resource and become regular users. I wonder if a skate park would serve the same purpose. I also have concerns that that area of town does not have sidewalks on the county roads and highways and through all of the neighborhoods. So in my mind, I'm thinking of the users of a skate park, potentially how are they going to get there? You know, even if it was something that was certainly identified as a community need and a community want and possibly a good idea, I'm imagining young people who don't have cars or driver's licenses yet, and for the most part, I would presume skateboarders are going to want to do what? Ride their skateboard to the skate park. And we don't have sidewalks, so I don't want to see people skateboarding down county trunk highways where there's not adequate access to necessarily get to that park. However, I do want to let you know that I remain completely open-minded on this. I think that we need to continue to churn through this data and look at some of the points and statistics that have been brought up. The chairwoman earlier made, I thought, a very good point about how the funding for repairs is prioritized, whether it's high or medium or lower priority. I think that's a great point, and we should consider that. But we need to also consider it in the detail and the context that just because something is a lower priority, that doesn't mean that we won't have to pay for it or fix it. The only thing we would be doing is continuing to defer that. And through our conversation today, we all know what deferred maintenance, continually deferred, does. So if we could come up with a viable, sustainable plan to not only save the pool and take care of the high priority items immediately, but recognize when the other items lower on the priority list would need to be addressed, and when we are going to be able to afford to do that, mind you, without raising taxes, in my opinion, because most of the people that I'm hearing from are seniors that are saying they need this amenity, and in the same breath, they're also saying, please don't raise my taxes. So that's very important as well. To my constituents, it's something that I could support to possibly keep the pool open. With that said, I don't think most people on my side of town even know that there's a pool there. I think that there would have to be an enormous outreach effort to let people know. To conclude, Mr. Chairman, you know, I am still taking a middle-of-the-road position on this. I have not decided. Obviously, we don't have any amendments before us yet, but I haven't decided how I would vote concerning this item. I'm still gathering information, talking to the Parks Department, the Executive's Office, as well as the community. I would hope most certainly that if there are any chances we would move forward with closing the pool, that we would not only have the evidence to back it up that that's best overall for the community, not just as a financial dollar and bottom line issue, but that we would also have the resources to be able to help direct people. You know, if there's a high school in my community where we can direct people that they're able to go for free rather than even paying to come here and pay the fees to the county, maybe that's an option. I don't know if that's an option, and that's something we're still looking into. One constituent that called me yesterday said she certainly opposed closing Noyes Pool. I said, how often do you use the pool, ma'am? And she said, not at all. I said, why do you feel so strongly about this? She says, well, I used to use it. I said, well, what do you do now? She said, well, now I'm a senior citizen, and so I'm able to get a Y membership for free. I said, oh, well, that's an interesting twist on it. She said that because she was of Medicare age, she was eligible for that. I don't think we have all the data on how that works yet. So I urge the committee to remain open-minded about this. I don't want to see community services cut. I personally don't want to see a skate park put in unless we see some irrefutable evidence that that's the best option. I am very supportive of listening to the residents and the users of the pool in that area because there might be other possibilities if a pool is not going to remain a viable option. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to hear from the public. We have a group of people that have registered but not speaking, and a group of people speaking. So we'll start with Lou Gatford. speaking against the closing, be followed by David Erickson speaking against, and I would ask if you could keep your remarks to, you know, no more than, say, 2 or 3 minutes, and hopefully try not to be too repetitious, but we're interested in hearing from everybody.
Mr. Chair? Could you just ask people to identify where they live?
Sure. Well, I can tell you from the card.
I think there's a misconception that this is about an amenity for a district, and I think it's an amenity for the whole north and south side. So, I mean, the whole county is served by these pools.
But you
think that would be helpful.
Getford? The address is 8668 West Cheyenne Street?
Yes.
Right. Okay, and then, that would be the northwest side, Cheyenne Street, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just a few blocks.
He doesn't know the city like some of us know the city.
There's a Cheyenne on the south side.
Okay. Thanks. Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to comment on the idea that if you're Medicare age, you are eligible to be free for the Y. That is true only for one Medigap entity. If you belong to WARRP, oops, I said that wrong. Anyway, then you can belong to the Silver Slippers. But most of us are not part of that, and we can't go to the Y for free. And I have looked into going to the Y with this sliding how much you pay, and it still is beyond my reach. Okay, to the pools. The pools are there for everyone. Every afternoon, after school's out, there's at least one family at Noyes, usually more than that, that are using the pool. The evening classes are there for those who work during the day. We have swim teams who use the pool. Right now, every Monday morning at 5:30, there is a swim team that comes. We have had lots of other teams over the years. I think that's the only one right now. But when West Bend's pool was closed, they all came to Noyes to use the pool. We've had diving clubs who have used the pool. This summer we had a group home of developmentally delayed adults who used the pool at least once a week. During the school year, there is a group that rents the pool, one during the day, during the lunch hour. Again, these are the children and youth of developmentally disabled, and they need to have the pool. Many of us are there because our doctors have said that we need to do this, and water is the easiest exercise on for many adults, especially if you've had a knee replacement or hip replacement or other surgeries, that the pool is just exactly what we need. But again, it is not just for senior citizens. This pool is for everyone, especially for the swimming. The swimming lessons, we have 8 sessions a year, and that they're almost always full. I know we've had to turn away people at Noyes because the swimming lessons were full. During the summer, kids line up way early to get into Noyes because they can only hold so many people, and once that number goes in, all of the rest of the kids that want be at the pool are shown away.
Thank you.
And I guess that's basically what I want to say, except please keep our pool open.
Thank you. And you, Mr. Erickson?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I stepped up because one of our colleagues asked me if I have anything to say when I was in the line back at the...
If you filled out a card here, we'll get to it.
The card was right there.
Let's just keep going with Mr. Erickson. Did you fill out a card, sir? I mean, sir, did you fill out a card?
Yes, I did.
Did you give it to someone?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, you're probably in the pile here, and we'll get to you.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll just take.
And Mr. Erickson?
Yes, I am. Noise.
And your address is for the record?
10413 West Sheridan Avenue.
Thank you.
Noise Pool has been a blessing in my life. I've been swimming at Noise Pool for 30 years. I've been retired for 15 years, and so I want to thank the board for having this facility for me because I've really appreciated it. I swim three times a week. I swim about 3/4 of a mile each time I'm there, those three times. While I've been there, I've noticed other things going on at the pool from 9 to 11 in the morning. There are two water aerobic classes that are going on, and each class has about 15 to 25 people in the classes. The lifeguards are very good and do a nice job in the instructions, and the facilities are good. The third thing I want to talk about is from time to time I'll go to England, to Long Eaton. My brother lives there. He was in the Air Force. He met a gal and ended up spending his life there. But anyway, while I was there, I would go to the pool in Long Eaton. And I noticed that their hours were a little longer. They started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there would be people lined up to come in then. And during the day, they would have children from city schools come in and have classes in the school. So I noticed in comparison with Noise Pool, they used the pool more in Long Eaton than we're using here in Milwaukee. And so I look at Noise Pool as a potential for a lot greater use than it's getting now. Part of that might be giving swimming lessons during the day to classes in the area. The other thing is if they had hours, let's say, opening at 6 o'clock in the morning so that working people could go and go for a swim before they go to their job, maybe some communication with some of the businesses in Milwaukee that this service could be provided and feedback from them if they were interested in that sort of thing. So that's really about all I had to say on this.
Well, I appreciate your ideas. Any questions for Mr. Erickson? If not, the next card we have is from Bill Seidler. That's you, huh?
Yep.
How fortuitous.
Anyway,
and your address we have on the card is 6937 North 43rd Street.
Correct.
So, here we go.
I thank the chairperson and the supervisors for this opportunity to address about a question about the Noise Pool closing. And the first question is, why doesn't the pool promote use of Noise Pool to help seniors and others with limited income? The pool has been paid for by the taxpayers. More use by seniors who paid their taxes makes sense to me. I have used Noise Pool on and off for 25 years. I spent some time in Illinois, and so I retired and I came back to where I grew up, close to Tony Avenue in Milwaukee. I have used the pool more like I say for 25 odd years, and am now 79 years of age. I hope to use Noyes facility to maintain my health and vigor for an additional 10 years because the costs are reasonable compared to a health club such as the YMCA or where it's more expensive. In these difficult economic times, I request that you promote Noyes Pool in your budget and keep it functioning for we of limited income. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seidler. Any questions, Mr. Seidler? If not, the next person we have who wishes to speak is Anna Johnson, 5051 North 24th Place. Anna still here? Perhaps Anna had to leave, but she was registered to speak against closing of the pool. Then we'll go to Ann Presser, 2342 West Acacia Road.
I just think almost everything has been said.
Okay, if you're going to speak, you need to, so everybody can hear, you need to come to the microphone, please.
Try not to have the box.
Thank you. And your name is, ma'am?
My name is Ann Presser.
Okay.
And I think most of the things have been said. The philosophy of keeping the pool open and the fact that it serves everyone in the family, and especially I think we need to think more about helping children who spend so much time indoors, and if they have the opportunity to exercise and use the pool, that would be wonderful. So I'm in favor of keeping it open and for all the reasons that have already been stated. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming. Any questions? If not, we have Lillian Johnson. Is Ms. Johnson still here? She's registered to speak against 8815 West Magnolia Street, followed by Karen Bradley.
Thank you kindly for this opportunity.
Thank you for coming.
Sure. I am a longtime citizen of Milwaukee and, of course, now with health problems, retired. It's so very easy to get up every day. I go four times a week to exercise class and then into water aerobics. And, of course, there's a great need because there's so many people going through different things, and it certainly helps me. It is recommended right now, of course, for many years from my doctor, and I'm really trying not to have another surgery. And so that's certainly easy, the water, and it's available, and we all are kind taxpayers here, and we just hope we'll be able to keep Norris Park open for our use, and we may live to get 102.
Thank you. I just want to make it clear, since most people are still here with the public, that we aren't taking any votes on this today.
Right.
That we're gathering information on the entire county budget, and we'll be taking votes on this and other items, you know, later on this month. So feel free to, you know, spread the word. Have your friends and family feel free to contact their county supervisors, the county executive's office, and share their concerns. But in case people thought, you know, we may be doing something today, no action will be taken today.
Sure.
Just so everybody's clear on that. Okay. Any questions for Ms. Johnson? If not, thank you very much for coming. Keep getting up and down, up, down. Ms. Bradley?
Yes. My name is Karen Bradley. I live at 9600 West Debbie Lane in Milwaukee. I am a recent retiree. I retired about 2 years ago from MPS, and I began going to Noyes Pool three times a week for my exercise. And I have found a whole new community of friends at Noyes Pool. And I was asked to kind of be the point person, and I was given copies of the 575 signatures from 2009, and then I haven't even counted yet the signatures that we had from this year when the pool was threatened to be closed. The guards were telling me that the training classes for all the guards are held at Noyes Pool. they and the kids in the summer, just like Ms. Gadford said, a lot of children come in the summertime, and some actually get turned away because there is a limit, a pool limit, so the kids get turned away. And it's open 11 months. When you do the ratio and the statistics, just be sure you get that information. It's closed the entire month of February, so 11 months is how long it's open. And, you know, it's been great for my mental health, being a retired person now. I no longer have the contact with humanity that I had when I was working. But for the seniors, the other seniors with me, it's a social outlet for us, too. So, you know, in addition to everything that has already been said, I'd just like to add my comments
to it. If you have petitions that you have that people have signed, we sure would be interested in seeing those, and if somehow we can get a copy, that would be helpful. Maybe someone from our staff can make copies of what you have, so you don't have to provide that.
Oh, okay. I have the actual petitions. I do not have copies of them.
Yeah, someone could make a copy and then give those back to you. So
okay.
You have your original, but we have a copy.
Yeah, I have the original.
They have that information.
Okay.
Because it's interesting that in 2009 there was 575.
575.
And then you have some more from the city.
Yes, and they haven't been counted. I don't know.
So, because we thought maybe there was just a couple hundred people using the pool 57,000 times. Next, we'll have Diane Pitt,
Mr. Chairman.
4469 North 73rd Street, followed by Norma Lathan, 19901 West Rio.
Hi, I'm Diane Pitt, and I live at 4469 North 73rd Street. And I was here on the first one in 09 with Scott Walker. And I see we survived that one, and I hope to survive this one. Hmm. Also, the reason I saw you look when you said the pool's only open 11 months, the reason the closing of the 1 month is we're shut down for cleanup. They drain the pool and they clean it very good. And the lifeguards do all that. But I've been at the pool since 09. I also go to the Y, but I get in free because of my insurance. But I do still go to Noyce three times a week, and I buy a six-month pass, which is $130. I can go as much as I want, but like I say, I go three times. And I'm pretty much what everybody else said. I agree with them. I made a lot of friends. We have potlucks and Christmas parties, and it's just it's a good time, too. Plus, our water aerobics is very, very good for us. And that's it.
I guess one question that those who favor closing the pool might want to ask you is that if you can go to the Y for free, and maybe you have better insurance than most people have, why should the county then provide you a service if you can go to a private place?
Because it's a different kind of a water aerobics. There's two different kinds. I go to a water Zumba class. We do not have that at the Y. I mean at the Noise. And I find I like it. That's the reason I go. But I only go to the Y once, you know, a week. The rest is at Noise. We have great friends at Noise.
And just to educate me, are there many types of, you know, Medicare supplements that would allow someone to use the Y? I see people shaking their head, but I'm asking you. So if you don't know, that's fine.
I have ARP.
Okay.
Medicare Complete through United Healthcare.
Is that a more expensive plan than some others might purchase or not?
There's no charge.
Okay.
You pay a copay.
Okay.
Is what you do.
Okay. Supervisor Haas?
Yeah, hi.
But you have to be a senior to get it.
Okay. I can't believe you qualify.
Well, thank you. If I have a quarter in my pocket, I'll give it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They call me a smooth talker.
Pardon?
Hi, thank you for coming today, ma'am. I really appreciate everything you said. Something that occurred to me as you're talking, I live down on the south side, and I helped organize these friends groups for several of the parks in my area, including one right across the street. And the friends of the parks, we help care for the parks a little bit. We help keep people present in the parks, help make them safer. A suggestion, ma'am, it can be a big, cool project, but if organizing amongst yourselves, as I think we've seen, actually, you know, somebody had to go get those petitions signed.
Right.
You know, having Friends of Noyes Park, it can be a great way to deepen your community involvement up there. So feel free to talk to me about it if you're still around. Or I know Jim Gooley of the Park People of Milwaukee County is here with us today. So yeah, it's a cool, I think it could be worthy of your time. So,
okay.
So mm-hmm. Thank you for coming.
Supervisor right. Dimitri Evich, do you have a question?
For you ladies here, thank you so much. It's along the same line as Supervisor Haas. Have you all, I see that many of you reside in the nearby where Noyes is, so I believe your supervisor would be Miss Alexander. I just want to make sure that you're contacting her office too. I know apparently she's not here while her constituents are speaking about this sensitive matter, but have you been able to contact her office, call her, if you know, maybe she's willing to help organize this group? I just want to make sure that she receives the petitions as well and that there's been contact made. I think it's important. And, of course, you're all invited to the listening session October 17th at Pulaski Indoor Pool. So,
what time?
6 p.m., ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Norma Lathan, and I reside at 11901 West Rio Street. I am recently retired the past 2 years, and I have been going to Noyes for aerobics since then. And I would like to mention that, in my view, the big problem is marketing. And everybody that I know of, we heard it from word of mouth from someone else. I heard it from someone, and I know two of the people here today are people that I told about it, and they came. And the alternatives, right now the big problem seems to be income. It's like our families at home. We tell them, you either have to reduce your outgo or increase your income. And I think that there are ways that we can increase the income for Noyes Park. For instance, some of the things are marketing to the youth in the community, i.e., MBS is out today for because
day.
Of right. But the students, I don't know if parents know that, you know, okay, the park is available today. The pool is available today. The CLC, CLCs in all the different communities, they could also facilitate maybe swim classes through Noyes. There's also the fact that before and after school programs that exist in most of the schools in that area. By the way, I did retire from the row, which was basically in that area, so I know a lot of kids that did attend there. But the before and after school program there, they participate in other things, like they have a soccer team that plays in a city soccer league. They could also facilitate having the CLC maybe have groups of students come in for swimming classes. Like I know McDowell went to the Y when they were over on the 17th and Highland. They can have earlier hours, as has been said before. There's no marketing that I know of to the various groups in the area. Like you have a lot of mega churches. Well, you've got a couple of mega churches. You've got big. You've got the Destiny Plaza things. These facilities, these groups could use Noyes as a place to teach swimming or as part of their physical education plans. I don't know if it's been marketed to them or not. We have the senior assisted living centers, the senior centers. I picked up a book called Connections with the, I think it was called Connections, the senior centers. And is that what it is? Yeah, I didn't see anything in there about Noyes. Now, I don't know why, if that's all C, or if that's, you know, a reason I didn't delve into that. But we could have there things like part. You want to attract people there. How about a Halloween party there, with, you know, swimming as part of it? But there are various things that can be done. Basically,
we need to market. Now, I know the director did say something about they've marketed. I don't know, and I would like to know if he could maybe let the supervisors know. What have you done? You know, what has the park system done to actually market this great facility that we have on that side? Have we just sat there and expected people to drive past and go, oh, there's an indoor park there. Let me go see what they have. As I'm a two-career person, so I'm a retired physical therapist also. Basically, I'm the geriatrics. It's what I dealt with. And we all know that low impact for water aerobics, for people with orthopedic problems, et cetera. I have actually even witnessed a therapist since I've been going there who brought one of her clients there because the lady said her insurance was running out for she had had a hip replacement, I think. Yeah, I think it was a hip replacement. I can't remember. But her insurance, the number of visits that would be allowed under her insurance is running out. So her therapist actually brought her to the pool to show her the exercises that could be done and how she could utilize and continue, you know, with her exercise program. And now that I think of it, that's another. Most of the insurance companies nowadays have limited visits following hip surgeries, especially a lot of orthopedic surgeries and things like that. Perhaps there could be something, you know, notifying these places that the park is available for continuation of exercises and et cetera. But there's just this marketing is a big thing that I have to say. We have to let people know what we have and what it can do for them and in order to have them expect to use it, not to just, hey, there's a place over there, you know, hopefully somebody will find out about it. And that's all I have to say at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from Ms. Latham? If not, the next person to speak is Jim Gooley, who will be followed by Carl Savage.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, supervisors.
Unfortunately, it's afternoon, but...
yes, it is. Actually, I'd like to speak on the county budget again, so I'll fill out another card, I guess, later on.
Yeah, that'd probably be best.
Okay.
Could you just give us your address for the record? Just so
sure, my address is 4457 North 110th Street.
Thank you.
Speaking on behalf of the parks people in Milwaukee County today, the Citizen Advocacy Group, and unfortunately, we've been keeping track of how the parks budget has been going over the years, and I'd just like to point out that the budget in 2013 is approximately the same as it was in 1983. So 30 years, you're dealing with the same set amount of dollars, and you factor in inflation, you get an idea as to why our Parks Department has to look at things on a dollar and cents basis. That's not saying that's the correct way to look at these things, because we're looking at closing public facilities, the only two pools that are open year-round. And I don't think that you're best serving your citizens. We've heard from a number of people today. I'm going to be very brief. They've eloquently stated their case, but I just want to go on record as saying the park people in Milwaukee County would sure like to keep these two indoor pools open. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Gooley? If not, Mr. Savage?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Carl Savage, 7109 Wobbler Court.
Okay, that one's got me. Where's that?
It's right off of 76 and Brown Deer.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm the CFO of a nonprofit organization, Stimulate America, which helps displaced homeowners. But I'm here today in support of my younger sister, Karen Bradley. But she did ask to take the lead in this drive to keep the pools open. One of the things that I practice is looking at the numbers. And when you see an item that is a revenue-producing item, such as a pool where people are buying memberships and paying a fee, and replacing it with a non-revenue-producing item, such as a skate park, you are cutting off something that potentially can lead to a larger income. It's more difficult to create a revenue-generating item than it is to, of course, you know, keep it. That is one issue. Another issue is what Ms. Latham touched on, which is the marketing of it. The money that could be spent on marketing could match the figures that we are talking about in the break-even analysis of 500% or 300% increase. Now, I don't know if all those figures are correct, but you can also look at a break-even analysis and do your marketing targeting a certain group of people. You have your demographics of the area, you know what you have parking facilities, and you know what you have on a fixed income. So you can generate revenue just by increasing some of the marketing at a very efficient price. And also, I want to leave you with this. Skateboarders are probably not voters. These are voters.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Savage? If not, we have Linnell McGrath. 3073 North Sherman Boulevard was registered to speak against. And then our clerk has some people that said they filled in a card, and they maybe did, but they may have checked the box registering but not speaking, so there may have been some confusion because the last person I have to speak, but we'll go through those cards if anyone wants to speak, is Cheryl Gum.
Like you said, good afternoon, everybody, and we were anxious about this meeting, and I'd like to thank you for allowing us to come here, and I've learned an enormous amount of things, especially, you know, knowing about the library, and we go there all the time. I'm the grandmother of seven, and we hold a family pass for David Schultz, what we call Lincoln, and I'd like to say that there's a lot of things that go on at Lincoln that should be addressed. For cutting and what they don't spend and what they don't do for the rafts, and we go there and there's one raft. Anyway, Noyes and Pulaski I've attended for 7 years, and it helps me a lot with my self-care for health-wise because I am overweight, and what happens is my body will lock at about 9 o'clock at night, and I can feel when I don't go to my exercise class. So I just want to say, and like the girls said, you know, for our health care, and it stops me from going to the doctor whining for pain pills that I don't use because of Noyes. And it keeps insurance costs down for me so that I don't have to go, you know, to my doctor. And what I'm hearing here, we energy is the basis of a lot of these problems that I'm hearing costs and everybody's spending and paying We Energy employees, Jaguar costs. And I'd like to say that. So mainly, when she said about advertising, could we start using the city channel, which is channel 25, and just put that there are some indoor pools, you know, accessible? And I'd be willing to pay 50 cents or a dollar more. I'll do that. But like I said, we do hold a family pass that cost me $130 this year, and we were glad to buy that, you know, for the outdoor park. And I did, you know, I used to live across the street from Dineen. That's disappeared. Close Washington Park. You freeze there when you go. And I don't even know what they talking about.
You're like the supervisor Stamper was out of the room when you said that.
Should I say that again?
No, probably not.
At Washington Park, they have a beautiful splash pad, the Harley little motorcycle, but close the pool. It's like swimming in ice cubes. And we travel. Me and my grandchildren, we get out in the summertime and we go to all the pools, and we do. I don't go so much on the south side, and I don't go to Cool Waters because it's too far, and it costs a lot of gas money to get there. But the pools are beautiful. The parks are beautiful in our city, and just sell a couple to keep Noyes open. And so also, I'd like to say that just having this dialogue was great for me because I didn't know that we were already given the money to stay open, and then you've got people up here that say that they gave it to O'Donnell, but then you say O'Donnell's not even open for parking. No, what?
It's open.
So like I said, if you want to raise our fees at Noyes, that's fine. You know, I'll pay a dollar more instead of the $3. I'll pay $4 to come. But not only that, close us on Sunday. Why do we need an indoor pool open on a Sunday? Thank you so much.
We appreciate your comments, and this is a chance for the public to speak today. The last person I have to speak is Robert White Jr. And Mr. White, I put your card in the wrong pile, so that was my mistake.
Not a problem. I like it. And this is my wife, Ann.
And Anna's filled out a slip just
That's okay.
She's just here for support for me.
So. Yeah. It's nice to have. And your address is, sir?
It's 1706 East Iron Street.
Thank you.
So many of the things that were said here today, you know, are so important. I think we have a little bit of a unique story here because I'd like to think we're part of the solution to keeping these pools open. I'm with the Schrader Swim Team, and our home facility is the Schrader Aquatic Center up in Brown Deer. And it was about a year ago that we decided to try to expand the program to the south side of Milwaukee, and we've become known as Schrader South. And our goal was to provide youth with the opportunity to experience the sport of swimming. And we started to look into facilities. We need swimming pools to start a program. And contrary to what I've heard said here today about all the pools that are available, pools are really tight. And the high schools have their high school teams, they have their PE classes, they've got everything going on in the pools. We did find a couple of other facilities that we're using, but we approached the county, and really Pulaski and Wilson Park have become our flagship facilities. We started with zero swimmers last
November.
We're almost to 100 kids right now, ranging from age 5 up through actually college in the summer, and ranging from kids that can barely make one length of the pool, and I'd probably not even consider them water safe in a lake or anything like that, up through Olympic trial qualifiers. So we have 11 different levels. We like to think we offer something for everybody, all levels. Last night, for example, I think we had almost 40 swimmers over Pulaski at our practice. These were all our novice new kids. The majority of our kids are brand new kids to swimming, who, and that was really our goal, is to come in and offer the sport to kids who have not had that opportunity. There are some other swim teams. Milwaukee Rec Department offers some swim teams, but they're very low level, and really they do not offer the levels that we have that kids can progress in. And they're excellent programs. In fact, we're starting to pick up some of those kids as they outgrow their programs. I'm not sure if those 30 to 40 kids that we had just last night get into the counts, to tell you the truth, because we've worked out, the county has been wonderful working with us. We worked out a year contract with the county to use Wilson Park and Pulaski, and so our kids don't come in and pay each time they come in. I'm not sure how people keep count, but like I said, we're almost up to 100 swimmers that use that pool every week. Over the summer, we use Pulaski every day as well as Wilson Park, so we do use it year-round. As I said, we've expanded the program from 0 to 100, and I think we can probably come close to doubling that within another year. We're very excited about that. Our little kids are learning, obviously not just competitive swimming, but I don't want to talk about the benefits that I feel of competitive swimming too much, but this is providing an avenue for kids to go out for a high school sport. I have two seniors, high school seniors in my program right now that are taking recruiting trips around the country, and I'm sure they're both going to get scholarships to swim. They might not have had this opportunity with us not getting this program going, and I think overall I want to say, as we use Pulaski's pool, all these people that have talked, it's just been wonderful to watch. We very often share the pool with other programs, whether it be Open Swim. We're watching toddlers come in with their parents, all the way up to when we leave, when the water aerobics or water Zumba classes come in, and those are packed, by the way. And so I think this is an opportunity to actually produce more revenue. We've got something going on here that's good. And you know, hopefully that we've become a help, but we know we're helping the community out with for kids that have never had the opportunity to swim. Ann and I have both basically run swim teams our entire careers, and it's basically been out in the suburbs, Heartland area, Lake Country area.
Waukesha County.
We're trying to bring it to Milwaukee. We live in Bayview. We're excited about all the kids in the neighborhood that are getting in the program, and we just think it's great. So I just want to finish by saying skate parks and splash pads don't save lives. Swimming pools do. It's really is just that simple. So
I think Supervisor Haas has a question for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hello, neighbor to the north. Thank you for coming. I live to your south in Bayview, too. But I used to, back in the mid-'80s, mid-late 80s, I was swimming up at Schrader.
Okay.
So I know it very well. Today, I represent the area, including Wilson Park and Wilson Rec Center. I think you might have talked to me or sent me an email. Maybe we talked to Bayview Bash or something a few years ago. And normally when supervisors make requests, it's for department directors and officials to send information. But could you, sir and ma'am, please send me information about your program, the Schrader South.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to help promote great stuff like that, especially if it helps improve our bottom line. That's never a bad thing. But I really love building communities and building the community. And so I want to help you guys out.
Well, I appreciate that.
Easy to find.
Got it. Just one more thought that outside of the competitive swimming part, we promote our program through flyers through schools. We gave out 4,000 of them for our fall tryouts.
To the MPS primarily.
Right.
And
let me say that we have talked to a number of principals who have asked us if there's a way that they could, that if we, can we provide a program for during the day for their students so they could bus students over for swimming lessons during the day. And right now we're not set up for that. We're a competitive swim team. But I think there is tremendous opportunity for that. I think some of these schools are really looking for that. And believe me, the community needs it for the kids. They've got to learn to swim. I think that's really important.
And one of those principals is Tom Matthews at Trowbridge School, one of the MPS schools.
Ann can't help herself, can she?
I know.
She'll have to
try.
We'll have to change her slip.
Yeah, she checked that box.
Those are all the people who have registered to speak. I'll just sort of read into the record so we have it. And the people who have registered but not speaking. Sheila Penn, 5555 North 62nd, registering against. Sandra Ackerman, 3160 North 92nd Street, registering against. Patricia Joseph, 7356 North 87th Street, registering against. Lois Cross, 4655 North 90th Street, registering against. Kathleen Weber, 8227 North 38th Street, registering against. Boy, this one's hard for me, but somebody that... I'll let him try to interpret that one and see if we can figure it out. Mary Lou Studi, 8701 West Brentwood, registering against. Essie Edwards, 4230 North 69th Street, registering against. Jean Paris, 7782 North Edgeworth Drive, registering against. Annie Stingley, 222 North 33rd, registering against. Casilda Ritger, 3160 North 54th Street, registering against. Ron Hart from AFSCME, registering against. Dave Eisner, 10621 West Lincoln, Apartment 1, registering against. And we think it's...
Hyacinth,
6502 West something.
San Francisco.
Registering against. So, thank you all for coming. Does the committee wish to take a short recess to...
Yes.
Okay.
You want to end this? Well, you want to take a break and come back?
We're in the pool. Okay. So we'll take a short recess. We'll come back at 1 o'clock for the rest of the Parks Department. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay. So we're in recess.